advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously. A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sofa King Podcast.
Yeah.
We.
I was all Davies goes, yeah. And it didn't, I was like, uh-oh.
Has Ice Cube here? Yeah. Yeah.
What is this on the back of this bottle? See that? There is a small.
It's a label and it says the ingredients.
It's a John Travolta chin bottle. It has a cleft in its chin.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
Is it some unknown purpose that we don't know about?
Yes.
What? Yeah, clearly. We just don't know about
we
it.
We have no idea what it is.
quite clearly, the answer is yes.
I'm Googling that.
Yeah, the ice cream truck is closed today.
So we got a new whiskey, and it is from Tyler Wouters, but I'm just going to say Scooby-Doo Wowzers. Wowzers! Wowzer Scoob!
Hey, that's a pretty good
show. Hey, I didn't know I had one. But Tyler Wowzers sent us a bottle of Palm Ridge Reserve handmade micro batch Florida whiskey.
Yeah.
He taped
it. And it has an alcohol rating of 90R, which we're guessing is 90 retardedness. So after a drink, it's just going to turn us into mongoloids.
Into mongoloids.
He hand wrote us a letter in Sharpie, but he took the label from the box or something, and it says Palm Ridge Reserve, and he taped it on here crudely with Scotch tape and then wrote Harry so that it says Harry Palm Ridge. Real mature, Tyler.
I'm a little bit worried because it's from Florida.
Let's see.
Are we going to give it a shot here?
Yeah, hold on. It smells spicy. Give me a...
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Spicy. That's good.
It is spicy.
I just poured it straight down my throat. I missed my tongue. It just went down.
Oh, that does have a lot of heat.
Mm-hmm.
But it is 90R, so.
Yeah. If by the end of the show we're all looking alike, it's going to start getting scary.
That's good.
Like,
though,
our eyes just start coming closer together. We're just like, Britt, what's wrong with your face?
We need a proof to retard ratio.
Florida. Yeah, kind of Florida. We're turning Floridian.
Yeah.
No, that's a legitimate whiskey.
Yeah, it's good.
It kind of tastes like bourbon. It's like a spicy bourbon.
Yeah, and it's not rich. It tastes very thin. But it is a spicy spicy whiskey. It's good.
I miss my tongue. I'm not making any claims.
Yeah. I feel like beating an alligator.
Yeah.
Domestically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not very vegan of you.
I feel like walking through a swamp right now.
See, exactly. That's how much Florida has now been infused into my system.
What if animals are like assholes? Swamp walking. Like, are you okay with killing them if there's like, they're asshole animals?
No.
No?
No.
What if there's like a monkey?
Only asshole people.
Mean to all the other monkeys.
Only asshole people, yeah.
What if a monkey, though? He's aware of his actions. He's just a dick to all the other monkeys.
He's just constantly throwing monkeys. Yeah, constantly throwing shit at everybody.
Well, by that rationale, we would have to kill Brad.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of people that probably do. That's fine.
So, one of the people who follows us on Instagram goes by the name of 1984 Dangerously Close.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent me a story on Instagram because a couple of episodes we were talking about pranks that people have played on each other.
Yeah.
And he told me about a pretty epic prank that I wanted to share with you guys because it's pretty legit. So he went to a bachelor party with all of his homeboys. And the plan was to get the guy who was going to get married so drunk that he passed out. Okay.
Yep.
So they get him drunk. They
that's
go out
much
on
the bachelor party plan.
That's the bachelor party plan, but that was only phase A. Okay. Phase B was he's drunk. He's passed out. They take him back to his hotel room. They have a friend of theirs who the guy doesn't know, who's a 6'5" buffed out black actor, and they pay him £100 to get in bed and fall asleep and wake up with him. And so he wakes up in the morning with a 6'5" tall black guy, which so far so good. That's a good prank. But while he was passed out,
they had to rape him.
No, they took hot sauce on a Q-tip and put it in his butthole.
Yeah. Man.
So when he woke up, his butt hurt and he's with a 6'5" black guy in bed. And apparently he rushed home. He quit answering people's phone calls? Like he was all fucking weirded out and like he was like evasive and depressed and like all this stuff.
Yeah, as I said, like he didn't go home and shoot himself.
And
like,
eventually he went for a drink with his best friend and the best man and told him that he thinks he has to call the wedding off because he's been questioning his sexuality lately.
No.
Yes. So it was revealed to him that it was all a prank and that everybody at the bachelor party was in on it, and then he immediately disinvited all of them from the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And quit talking to all of them.
Meanwhile,
that's when pranks go bad.
That's a good prank.
He admitted,
that's when it
though,
went perfect.
That he has some questionable sexuality.
Yeah, that's the yeah.
One time, my buddy left his email logged on upstairs, and I'll never do this again. It was logged in, and I was like, oh man, I got to do something. So like, I just looked in his contacts. I was like, oh, I know that guy. It's a pretty close friend of his. So I sent him an email with like a long story about how he had a dream last night and he's really confused. He knows he's not gay, but the dream was about his friend and it was sexual and this and that. And his buddy sent a reply. He's like, it's cool, man. It's just a dream. You know, it doesn't mean anything. He's like, I know, man, but I'm just really confused. And his friend like supported him and shit. He's like, I got this fucking email from my buddy Chuck. Like, what happened? It was my buddy Pat, actually, Pat Jimenez. And then it was like fucking war. I was watching my back. I had to make sure I logged out of everything, dude. Like fucking months. He's like, it's coming. And yeah. I was like, oh fuck, dude. I never am pulling a prank again because the nervousness of watching your back was so fucking nerve wracking, dude.
Yeah, you never know.
But it was really funny because his buddy was like super supportive. It was a good friend test. He was just like all about being there for him. It was
right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. That's a good friend test.
Funny.
So yeah, so prank's gone bad. I thought I literally laughed out loud sitting at home when I read that, and I thought I would share it on the show. So
did you ask him if it was okay?
I did. Yeah. Oh, okay. I did.
Well, speaking of hot sauce, I went and had my lunch yesterday.
Nobody said anything about hot sauce.
On the butthole? Yeah, they did, actually.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So, I was trying to nicely leave the butthole separate from my plug.
You know I can't let that go.
Brad, right back. I tried to build up my immunity to...
he did say butthole plug.
Oh, wait, hold on. Okay, time out. Hot sauce has to wait. One of our fans, Rogue Leader... did a throwback to the intergalactic butt plug. Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. Interdimensional
butt plug.
Yeah, there's like an inside joke from a thing way long ago. She built a model rocket for some reason, and she named it the interdimensional butt plug.
Nice.
And then she provocatively put pictures of her holding it like...
Yeah. You know, measuring.
Yeah, measuring. And for some reason, it was kind of creepily provocative. I don't know what the deal was. It said butt plug on it, and the way she was holding her hands, I don't know. She launched the rocket. It got stuck in a tree. Dave's going to be pissed about this, I think. And they cut the whole fucking tree down to get the rocket out.
What? That seems a little extreme.
I was like looking at the tree. I was like, damn, that shit's like 40 years old, I bet. That's a fucking old-ass tree. I mean, they're in Colorado. There's lots of trees, but like... I don't know, something about that fucking
just to get a cheap ass rocket.
Like, yeah,
that just doesn't make
first
any sense.
Try.
Unless you needed firewood too, then you're good.
I'm sure they used it. Let's pretend they used it. Yeah, we'll find out. I don't know.
They're making paper.
But they had a post of it launching, and then she was just laughing and drinking a beer, like selfie cam status, going, "We're about to cut the tree down to get my rocket back." And then the next one was just them chainsawing a whole fucking 40-year-old tree down.
So apparently they had a chainsaw, but not a ladder.
Yeah.
Oh no. This is like that fucking tree was up there. There's no ladder.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the fire department couldn't have got that shit. You had to cut it down.
$6 rocket, cut down a 40-year-old tree.
That tree was a sapling before we were even babies. Yeah. It's crazy. Made me sad. But I thought that was kind of weird how indirectly we were involved in killing that fucking in Colorado.
Good job, Dave.
The butt plug rocket.
Brent's the one that's sad about the tree. I don't give a fuck about the tree.
So you don't care about
No, trees. I was just saying good job because what if there's an interdimensional butt plug.
Yeah. What, so you'd care about the beetles in the tree, but not the tree. You don't care about the tree because it doesn't have a face?
I don't give a fuck about a tree.
Doesn't have a fuck face? About a tree. Trees have faces.
There's like studies that show that trees feel, though.
I don't give a fuck about a tree.
Yeah, they learn too.
No.
And I'm never judging. I'm always just curious about your thoughts on the subject matter.
I'm an animal. I live in a house made of trees.
That's true.
And then I force trees to live in my lawn and provide me shade
while
they look at the dead
trees and oil.
Dead relatives that I'm sitting on.
Because he eats plants, so he doesn't care about trees.
So speaking of hot sauce, real quick before we start, we're at the coffee shop and one of our friends that used to work at the coffee shop was in town.
We're going to get to 15 minutes. Dawn's going to get mad.
Oh, shit. She was in the coffee shop. You were pointing out that we were all logoed out like fucking NASCAR drivers. Like Brad has a Sofa King shirt. I have a Sofa King shirt. Dave had an El Yucateco shirt. And both Brad and Dave were wearing El Yucateco hats. Yes. It was like fucking sold out Wayne's World. Like
I need like a number 36 on my back.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And then right when I walked up, she pulled a mini bottle of El Yucateco hot sauce out of her purse. And she just came from states away and she's still representing. So
nice.
Shout out to Sage. And that's our El Yucateco plug for the day. We'll move on to anyone that might be bothering, like pussy on a pedestal. That's an inside joke for one fan.
Okay.
But, yeah. Awesome. Moving on.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He knows. He knows who I'm talking to.
So all today we're talking about doping in sports, not like people you know that you think are stupid and you call them a dope.
Sports like speed walking.
Yeah, there's a lot of doping in speed walking.
For whatever reason.
It's a controversy.
No, the wide range. I just think steroids. Right away, I think, oh, they're doing steroids.
Like, well, the Diaz brothers in the UFC always get busted for smoking weed right before they're going to fight.
Right.
You know, as it gets a super big controversial thing.
That shouldn't matter. Like, that's like almost
what we said. You just said the opposite, though. Yeah. Like you said the focus, the pain's not there. So if they're not feeling pain,
that kind of helps. That's true.
So, because you were talking about your brother said that. I mean, somebody else's brother said that.
It wasn't my brother.
Who was it?
I don't know, but
somebody else's brother. You were right the first time.
Somebody else's brother.
Yeah. It was someone's brother from another mother. It wasn't my brother.
So I don't know. I mean, we'll look at a lot of examples here, but I mean, to begin with, I have a hard time with the doping argument at certain levels. It kind of leads into some slippery slope stuff. It's like, you know, you hear about like if I can't smoke weed before a fight because it's going to make me feel less pain, can I take ibuprofen before a fight or can I take Vicodin before a fight? Or is that considered
that's
doping?
That's a totally different level, though.
And if what if it's aspirin? What if it's a shot of whiskey? Yeah. That matter, like it gets into issues. Like you see all these athletes and all these like specific competitions in the Olympics that wear these really weird outfits that are like, oh, this thing gives you 3% less drag in the water. So for like if I have stuff, more money, I can get 3% faster. And it's like, why is that acceptable, but a drug that gets me 3% faster isn't. I don't know, the whole there's this weird slippery slope of like how pristine. I mean, do we just need naked fucking dope free 100% like organic athletes to compete in order to have a level playing field? Because
you would definitely get more viewers.
Yeah,
if that was the case.
I suspect you would.
Yeah, I don't know. On swimming, that's cold water. It's like 68
degrees. True. That's true.
Then again, if you shine in that situation, you're looking at the guys. Probably pretty boss.
Brent's looking at the guys. Yeah. It's a little cold in the water.
I'm just putting myself in that spot. I'm trying to think how proud I'd be at 68 degrees. I mean, I'm probably still.
You're not worried about that.
You can still see it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's some dudes like probably couldn't see it.
Why are you worried about the guys? Yeah. I'm watching the women's event.
No, I'm putting myself in that spot.
Would I
compete naked like that? That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, if you want to win, you want a gold medal. Yeah. You want a gold medal?
Mm-mm.
You're gonna swim naked.
I guess so.
You're going to wrestle naked.
I think that the pain management thing, wrestling naked is not okay. That is not okay. I'm drawing the line there. Yeah.
You're tapping out due to balls in your face.
Like, you know, someone gets injured and they go to the sideline, get a cortisone injection, send them back out. Like that, you know, it is a slippery slope. I guess if it's about pain, it feels like maybe that's because you're alleviating misery. It's not performance enhancing. It's correcting an injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I think that's probably where that line's drawn.
Well, that's the same thing with blood cycling is considered doping. And yeah, blood, man, blood, that, blood cycling is not doping. It's just you.
I had
you
get no blood, idea.
You get blood taken out of your own body. It's your own blood. And then before you do something major, you basically stack your blood. You basically put all that blood back into you. And there's a specific amount, you know, they know how much to do. And that way your white blood cell count is like crazy high. And you're just able to pump out more. You have more oxygen.
Your red,
you know what I mean? Out. Yeah. So it's like an organic. So type of
from cycling, like they take EPO, which is basically something that your kidneys produce when your blood, when your red blood cell count is low or you're deprived of oxygen, your kidneys will naturally release EPO. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the fancy name for it, but
erythropoietin.
Thank you, sir. Which causes you to have red blood cell production. Mm-hmm. So it's naturally occurring in your body. And there's certain
levels,
but Lance Armstrong, you know, amongst, I'm sure, tons of other people that just didn't get called out publicly for it, was famous for that.
Well, the whole cycling team, whole team that he was on was doing it.
So they would draw 2 pints of blood, refrigerate it, wait for his body to replace the blood, because your body will naturally replace it, and then put his own blood back in.
Yep.
But the problem is it's like super thick and it'll get turned to sludge and you can have a stroke or a heart attack.
Oh, yeah.
The blood starts to age. There's all kinds of weird things that start to break down.
There's the timing. They know how to do it.
Yeah, they would do it in hotel rooms and vans and shit. And they would give him a blood transfusion of his own blood.
And fighters do it.
It's so smart, though. Like Lance did super smart things. He did EPO. He did test, but in micro dosing. So they would figure out what the parameters are of a max male supposed to have, I don't know, the number, a level of 800. And they would keep it right at those levels, and then he'd reinfuse.
So he always had blood. He always had max testosterone, but never
outside the parameters.
Yeah,
I mean, you have enough money. Yeah, you
can. I mean, the other thing is, and the Tour de France, when I looked into it, really shows this, is that the entire sport is an evolution of a drug getting introduced and then the organization chasing it with a test.
Yeah.
It's like EPO was out for a long time.
Always one step ahead.
There's always a drug that there isn't a test for yet that they don't even know about yet, that whatever. So they're all like, the athletes are always doping. It's just, we don't know that drug does something yet. We don't know how to test for it yet. Like EPO.
Yeah, how do you test for putting your own blood back into your body?
Right.
There's a lab that was like, we can see at the microscopic level, they could detect the plastic that was present because it was in a bag for a little while and they could find the presence of the plastic.
But they had to create that, and that's years and years and years.
Yeah, later. By the time they do it, they catch up and they do. Like, there's even people that would modify the molecular structure to remove the detectable component so the molecule stayed the same, had the effect, but the little thing that broke off, this little carbon thing that was sticking off the edge, like, oh, just get rid of that. It'll still have this effect, but they can't see that anymore.
Yeah.
So they changed the test so that they would have something that would react to like androgen receptors. It was really neat. They had this auger dish full of the substance that was photoreceptive. So it would light up if an androgen bond happened. So they couldn't detect substances, but if an androgen bond occurred, it would this thing to light up and the substance would glow.
I mean, that's fucking scientific as a motherfucker there. Like, but the thing is though, like what's fucked up, and like for Lance Armstrong's sake, I think it was wrong to try and take away any medals that he had won, because every other motherfucker in the entire world that did that race was doping.
Well,
not the guy that got last place.
And here's the thing. Okay, let me rewind for a little bit, because I want to, because I looked into this and I was kind of fucking surprised by the Tour de France. Okay, so I looked into it. In 1903, the Tour de France started, and from everything
that was
after Castle Times.
Okay, I know where we're at now.
It was after Cowboy Times, but before War Times.
Oh,
okay,
got it. I'm right there.
So 1903, the racers would, and again, this was considered doping at the time, they would drink alcohol before they would race, and they would also use ether while they were racing. They would take breaks and do ether. Smart.
And strychnine, I saw for some reason.
First, it was just alcohol and ether because they would, it would be like day 2, day 3 of a 6-day race. They were in so much pain. Universally, every athlete said the only way we can keep going past the second or third day is to either be drunk or to be using ether.
What is
because
ether
it hurts so fucking much. It knocks you out. I mean, it's,
yeah, but how do you function if you're...
You would take enough to kill the pain, but not knock yourself out.
It would make you, it would like be taking like a Prozac or something, you know? Like
right.
You would just be like a zombie.
So yeah, years later, they started to ban...
Prozac works like that.
They started to ban alcohol, and then they started using strychnine, which is fucking poison.
Yeah, that's what I was like, what the fuck?
But
it opens up your bloodstream.
It opens your bloodstream, and it keeps your muscles from convulsing. So they knew exactly how much... Again, it was like Iocane powder. I mean, they knew exactly... They built up a tolerance to strychnine so they could take it enough to have their muscles. And this is in the early 1900s they're doing this. And universally, every single
there
person...
There had to have been people that died.
All the time. They were dying all the time.
A small dose of poison causes some physiological panic on a cell level. I could see that.
So you've got athletes who are knocking back vodka, sniffing ether, and injecting strychnine into themselves just so they can race for 6 days. They were having heart attacks. They were dying. They were collapsing, hallucinating. And this is day one.
There's the finish line.
Every single one of them said, how else do you think we could possibly do this? This is an impossible feat.
I want to interject something called the Goldman's Dilemma. Did you read about that?
No.
The Goldman's Dilemma is basically they posed a question to athletes, and they said whether if they could take a drug that would guarantee success in their sport, like if they could take this drug and they were going to get first place, but it would cause them to die in 5 years.
Oh, they're saying
50% of the people said they'd do it.
They're saying
That's fucking crazy.
Because that's their goal in life. That's what they live for.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, gold medal, but I'm going to be dead in 5 years.
We don't understand that. That'd be like saying, hey, I'm going to give you $1 billion, but you're going to be dead in 5 years. You'd be able to do everything you wanted to do in your life.
I don't think I'd do that.
You wouldn't, but somebody would.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
I'd have to seriously think about it.
I would too.
I'd be like, well, what the fuck is, 5 years?
Yeah, because you're going to die anyway, and you're never going to get the $1 billion.
No, and I'm going to have 5 years of
fucking
the best life of your life. Yeah.
My concern was family, but then I was like, but then I would leave my kids
like money.
I'd leave my kids with like the $87 that I didn't spend after 5 years.
Well, you could still, in that 5 years, teach them to appreciate.
That'd ruin your kid, though. You'd die. They lose their father at a young age, and then they're fucking have this like rich kid money. I don't think it's good.
No, in 5 years, they're teenagers. You're good. They won't even care. They won't even care.
Atari
they won't even care. Yeah.
Yeah. They're fine.
Yeah. Mm. I remember a kid in high school. His dad died and left him a bunch of money, and he had a nice car and just spending it all. He had a ball.
I need more thought. I'm saying no now, though. I'm not doing
that. I'm thinking about it. I'm chewing on it. So, there was a guy named Marshall Taylor who I looked up, and he was actually a real badass. He was African-American. He was the first African-American to do professional cycling, broke down all these barriers, et cetera. 1 year, he entered 50 races and won 40 of them, world.
That's my cousin.
Like, the guy was just fucking crushing it.
He's my great cousin.
He had to quit a race that was going through New York, a big, long, multi-day cycling race, because he was having hallucinations. And when he stopped and they all have carers, people who go with them and make sure they're okay. And that's the guys that would give him the ether and give him the strychnine and all that shit.
A brimming and glass of brandy.
Michael Jackson's doctor was with him.
Yeah, exactly. He told his carer, I cannot go on with safety, for there's a man chasing me around with a knife in his hand.
Oh my God.
Of course you're going to win.
Cause he was hallucinating. Yeah. Like he thought one of the people on a bike was a villain with a knife in his hand racing after him to kill him.
Kicking over the other cyclists, sir.
Yeah, there's probably some angry Klansman on a bike always lagging behind him. I'm gonna stab that Negro. Yeah. I can't
get back
it.
Here. I can't put you on my hanging tree. Man.
That might have been real. They just did just to motivate him to run faster.
We went looking at houses yesterday, and there was a house that had a really nice hanging tree in the back. It was perfect. Yeah, nice. And it had a rope with like a lantern, and I was like, I know what's going on here. Everybody knows black people are attracted to fire.
They're like moths.
That's why aren't they afraid of fires? Is that why the Klansmen light the crosses on fire?
No, maybe. That's too attractive.
They walk right.
Oh no! I don't know what happened to my voice.
Ladies and gentlemen, Snagglepuss.
when I get racist,
Snagglepuss the Klansman. Look, a nigger.
That was a black man saying that for the record.
Put him in the tree.
Yeah.
Exit stage. Rope.
If you say it in that voice, it's not racist.
Yeah, no, it's very.
Hey, you want some grape Kool-Aid? I got a whole pile of watermelons over here. Fried chicken. Did we say like, it doesn't even count. I was joking.
It's not racist. Yeah. It's clearly not racist. I'm doing the voice.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. You didn't know? Black guy?
The Klansmen should have figured this out a long time. None of them would need robes.
No.
Like all of them could just walk around talking like that.
We have a black guy and a Mexican on the podcast. Yeah. It's okay.
That's right.
Moving on.
So 1930s.
Anybody want an empanada?
Still looking at the Tour de France, 1930s, amphetamines hit the market. So everyone starts to use amphetamines to get through the race, which of course is super healthy. Like, let's take lots of crank.
Dude, where's that
and
at?
Then ride a bike.
Yeah.
Okay, I got one more interjection. So in World War II, British troops used 72 million amphetamine tablets. And it was owed to winning the war. It said that methamphetamine won the Battle of Britain.
Oh, Hitler was on meth.
The meth was huge.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, but the amphetamine thing got so big in the 1930s that the handbook for the race that was given out to the racers in 1930 explained clearly that amphetamines were not part of the items provided by the Tour de France organization for the racers. Basically, bring your own amphetamines.
Yes, BYON. You never been to one of those parties? Like, bring your own meth? That's standard.
So
we have those here.
And then in the 60s, things got even worse. There was a Danish writer named Knud Enemark Jensen. Who collapsed during a 100-kilometer team trial in the 1960s Olympics and died. And he was taking amphetamines and Ronasol. And this is just like,
It sounds like a toilet cleaner.
Most of them are drugs that have something to do with opening up veins or adding efficiency to your red blood cells. That's what most of the drugs,
you gotta aerate the drugs.
So because this guy died in 1960. By 65, they finally put anti-doping laws in place in France that covered the Tour de France. So the amphetamine test came up in 77, and there was they came up with a test for a drug called Pemoline. And as soon as they came up with the test, they would like people were showing up for the race, and they were like just people on the street were like, "Hey, are you here for the Tour de France?" And they'd be like, "Yeah." "Hey, are you racing in it?" And they'd be, "Yeah." And then like people would grab them and say, "Come with us," and force them to take a piss.
Oh, shit.
And then they would test their urine because no one knew it was that the test had been perfected. And then they were busting everybody, including like the person who had just won the last five races in a row.
I saw a thing where in the Olympics right now, as soon as you pass the finish line, if you win, like an escort immediately tags along your side and doesn't leave until you piss.
Right.
Like there was this girl. She's like, "Yeah, it's kind of a buzzkill. Like I just want to enjoy it." But like this person is just following you around with a bottle of water, trying to make sure that you don't go anywhere out of sight, that they never leave their sight.
And what's crazy is the like times that they get suspended for, like for ephedrine, some people get public warnings.
Mm-hmm.
Some people get 9 months or a couple years. Like, I don't know how they decide that, but then the EPO, which was the blood cycling we talked about, 2 years. Like that's what it's like a standard, like that's like bigger than actually taking a drug.
The problem I had with it was like there's like people considering lifetime bans versus suspension. It's been equated to like a traffic ticket. Like you should still be able to drive. Don't take my license away. Something like EPO is very short term, but something like steroids, you changed your physiology.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You went from being like a normal person to like now you have all this muscle. You got the muscle. You get to keep it.
Yeah.
So if you
as long as you keep it up, you
get to if you trained for 5 years and did steroids, then quit, got clean, and said, "All right, now I'm going to do this shit."
Yeah, you're
like,
huge.
That's kind of not fucking fair. You know what I mean? But the EPO is that why is such a stringent thing? It's like, oh, you can't use that shit while you're cycling, and in a week it's probably gone. You know what I mean? It's like cocaine or something. It's over. Yeah, it's not affecting your performance anymore.
Right.
So.
And this is, again, the Tour de France thing. Like, there was one cyclist named Jean-Luc Vandenbroek, who was a Belgian rider. Jean-Luc Picard, who was a Belgian rider. In 78, he got busted for steroid use because they had switched to steroids by this point in the 70s. And, you know, he went on record as saying, as did many cyclists, he said, "I took steroids. I had hormone injections in my legs. They would do them every single day." And he went on to say, there's no way we can run this race without some sort of an enhancer.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
there's so, no way we can do it. And he says, we all do it. Yeah. Like in 78, he was like, I know I got caught, but I'm letting you know this is something every single person in this race must do, not just to get an edge and win at the end, but do you think we can do this? Like this is an impossible.
There was a track runner that said going into a race and putting your feet on the starting block without being on something or without doping would be equivalent to just not putting spikes on your shoes when everyone else had spikes on their shoes.
Right.
He said it's like, it's just impossible. There's this girl. It was weird.
Well, it's because everybody else is doping and just didn't get caught.
Well, there was a girl that was naive to it though. There was this young girl and she ran the race. She led the entire race. And at the last turn, these Russian girls just like, that was weird.
It's our headphones.
The last turn, these two Russian girls just walked past, just ran right past her like she was standing still, finished the race. She was in first the entire time. And she like was on record like crying like, I'm against robots. Like it's
right.
Yeah.
Not,
yeah,
it's
right.
Not fair.
It's not like, possible. Yeah, because she was bred.
Yeah.
And she didn't she wasn't doping, but she was blind to it. So it's not everyone knows apparently. Like
no.
But she acted like she had no idea. Like, I'm not doing it. They just ran.
Well, it's because they think that if you're in the Olympics and you're in some big event, you pass the drug test.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you passed them.
Right.
So obviously it's fair, you know?
And you rely on whatever doping agency is in your region to be screening people.
Yeah.
And I mean, as far as I know, the United States agency that does doping takes it fairly seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ, when someone dopes, they have like congressional hearings about it and shit. It's like, I mean, they take it seriously, but then, and I'm sure we'll talk about it later, but like meanwhile in Russia, there's like a state sanctioned secret doping thing going on where they want everyone to be doped and they always have, you know,
you talk about, you know, the Olympics and what that means for a country. Like for us, we're always at the top of the Olympics. We're always at the top of the food chain. For other countries, it means being number one. You're the best.
Right.
You know, so they want that number one spot so bad. The country will impose drugs on the athletes so that they win.
Right.
It's kind of weird, too, because we recruit from like, oh, we're going to get this guy from Kenya. Yeah. And then eventually make him like he's on the American team, but it's like that guy's Kenyan, like he's not even American. Or we'll go get this Russian gymnast or whatever, and somehow you get them over here. It's like the all-star team.
Yeah.
So like America.
Yeah, you always see that. You always see that on the Olympics. Like so and so from Russia is training out of San Francisco.
Yeah.
Or you see the exact opposite. You'll see that Wing Lo P from China, who's on the Chinese team, like
Wing Lo P
lives in Memphis. And he's trained there for the last 8 years. And it's like, how is he on the Chinese team if he lives in America and he trains using American facilities with American, like, that's just so weird.
Do you guys
to me.
Remember there was that Asian airliner that crashed and someone hacked the fucking thing and the newscaster anchor just read all the names as they were. And it was like fly too low, wing no work, like a bunch of weird shit.
That's funny.
I don't remember what the names were. It was hilarious. It's sad though. Like people had died
and
the anchor just, they made these funny, like, fly too low. She's like, pilot fly too low had no money. And, like, didn't even ask because they spelled it funny. Like, it was a Sofa King trick.
They're just reading the teleprompter.
And they just read it. Oh, fuck.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah, to round out the Tour de France thing, it ends up culminating with Lance Armstrong getting busted. And they had detected stuff in his system several times. And one time he deflected it by saying he had a prescription for some sort of corticosteroid cream because he had saddle sores, and apparently that's a common prescription. Yeah. And he said that that's why the levels were testing, and he provided the prescription and they let him off. And a couple of times he always tested like right on the edge, and he kept getting away with it. And even when the group that monitors the race was calling him out on stuff, they couldn't prove it. Like they found stuff in his urine, but then they immediately had him urinate again immediately after the race, and it wasn't there anymore.
Yeah, it's because he burned through it.
Right. So they kept trying to catch him, but they couldn't. But then it was in 2000. So in 2005, he had won 7 consecutive tours, which is pretty fucking crazy. And then there was a leak that he had been doping. They found EPO in his urine, but they couldn't reproduce it. So they let him off the hook.
Right.
But then in 2012, the USADA, which is the US Anti-Doping Agency, found proof and looked back and got right. testimonials, and they were the ones who busted him. The Tour de France tried to but couldn't, and the USADA busted him. And then once they provided that evidence to the Tour de France, they took back all seven of his titles. They did all this stuff.
Which
then,
is bullshit, I think.
I saw a crazy thing where this drug enforcement thing saved samples from the Olympics 20 years ago. And they fucking busted a bunch of people 20 years later because they saved their
technology.
Yeah, because
technology
now we can test for it.
And then they test, they're like, yeah, they were all fucked up. Yeah, they're all doing it.
But everybody, that's my thing. Like Lance Armstrong won those races against other guys who were doping. If he wasn't doping, somebody else who was doping would have won.
On a documentary, like who really was first place? Number 87?
Right. Here's
the guy in last place is the one who really won.
One of the USADA findings was that 20 of the 21 podium finishers in the Tour de France from 99 through 2005 were directly tied to doping through admissions, sanctions, public investigations, or exceeding the EPO use threshold.
20 of 21
podium finishers were connected to doping, and there was either direct incontrovertible proof or there was allegations and all the other teammates were like, yeah, this guy, or admissions, 20 out of 21. So no, in a way, you're right. Why did they pull Lance Armstrong's medals? I mean, since the fucking thing started in 1903, everybody was using every chemical they could to get through this race. Yeah. So, and
you'd have to go back through history and take away everybody's medals. I disagree. I know they were trying to probably make an example out of them.
Sure.
But I think that's bullshit. Like, I think that they can't do that.
I think
they
should have taken away the last race. Like whatever the proof was to say like, oh, we know at this race.
Cause you can't prove it before. It's just that last one.
Yeah, sure.
And now you have this new testing standard, you know what I mean, from here on out. So I don't know.
But once he got caught, though, he probably admitted. He's like, yeah.
He finally did. He admitted it.
And I know he has a book and all that stuff.
And that's the whole dilemma is like, do you just go ahead and allow it? But then you have people that are – it changes the integrity of the sport, and it makes people that want to naturally do it, that have a natural God-given gift like in talent – be in a pressure position that they have to do it because you're going to end up, if you actually just said fucking go for it, like what would people look like? You know what I mean? Like Jesus Christ.
It's the classic argument of, you know, because steroids, everybody's worried about hurting if you let people take steroids, you're basically letting them hurt themselves.
Right.
But I think with doctors and the way medicine is now, I don't think so. Like Lance Armstrong, I don't think it affected him.
Right.
Like he kept it at normal levels.
Have testicular cancer and a bunch.
Well,
of
that's going to happen anyway. If you don't die of cancer, you just didn't live long enough to get
sitting
it.
Sitting on a seat. And,
well, he had testicular cancer in like the early 90s.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, and most of he was this
one
stuff
ball. He was one balling for a long time.
But the other thing is, it's like you just have to wonder if all of the racers weren't on dope, like Lance Armstrong, there's a really good chance he still would have won. Because he's a mutant. He has a mutated heart. He can handle more. Like he literally is funny. He has a bizarre capable, like I saw a whole Discovery Channel thing on him. He has like this super abnormal efficiency with converting oxygen in his blood.
When was that Discovery Channel documentary made though? They're like, that's weird. How does he do this? He converts oxygen. Oh wait, EPO, red blood cells, blood doping.
Oh, maybe so. Yeah.
They're like, we don't understand. No,
but the thing is though, like most, I shouldn't say most, but a lot of, really good athletes who are like at the top of their game have like an irregular heartbeat.
Right.
They have like some weird thing. Like they had asthma as a kid and they didn't ever think they'd be able to do anything. And all of a sudden they're this just like crazy athlete. Shaun White, for example.
Because the side effect.
Yeah. He was like, he had asthma like super bad, like couldn't do anything. And then like all of a sudden through school, he got better. And he has an abnormal heartbeat. And he's like this crazy superstar, athlete who's good at whatever, skateboarding, snowboarding, whatever he wants to do, he can go and do it.
Well, it's probably a credit. It's like that's an ode to evolution proof, like it's saying that these weird genetic anomalies end up, excelling in certain things.
Right.
And so then you carry on. That's probably a good proof of that.
So, I don't know. With the tour, like the fact that in 1903 they were saying, if we don't take something, we can't beat this.
That's my point.
We can't do that. It just seems like an inhuman.
You're always going to look
for the
edge.
get through it. You like you know what's crazy? All the athletes are saying you can't get through this race without something.
So listen to this though. Like even with regulation on stuff, there's a lot of people, they have really funny claims. Like some guy said that he had like eaten wild boar and it hadn't been castrated or something. So the testosterone was higher and he ate this wild boar the night before because his uncle, there's all these crazy excuses for why their testosterone is elevated or hormone injected animals, you know,
they've probably done their research and they know that like, oh, if you're eating this stuff, it actually does bleed over.
Well, there's a bunch of, I mean, and there may be something to that. Eating poppy seed muffins will make you fail a heroin test, right? So, but the crazy thing is sometimes people claim like ignorance. They're like, I don't know. I did not take anything to my knowledge. Like maybe my trainer gave me something and this is the scariest shit. So the sports supplement industry is like highly unregulated. None of that stuff's FDA approved. It's all just claims. It says on there, this has not been evaluated by FDA. Mm-hmm. And so the an independent laboratory on a documentary I watched last night took a bunch of just protein powders and checked them, and their protein powders should have fucking like whey protein and that's
whey protein, goat protein, goat milk isotope.
Yeah, like, they'll add something like, oh, we added amino acids or something, or like maybe there's a stimulant or something. Yeah.
But caffeine.
What they found in some of the things is there was like what's called SARMs, like selective androgen receptor modulators. People had the companies had added it unknowingly and not listing it because they knew it would have a positive benefit because it has androgenic effects like steroids in their protein powder and not advertise it because it's not regulated. And so
and then when you take that protein powder,
like, damn,
people are
this
like,
shit worked. I gained 10 pounds. Like, then they go tell their friend and they're like, I'm buying this shit again. So, and then if you went and took a test, you'd fail, but you're looking at that bottle. You're like, I'm safe. I took protein powder. What did I do? I didn't take anything, but it doesn't matter because no one in the public's going to believe you. Your reputation is marred. You've been suspended.
Right.
Yeah. You know, all this stuff has happened and legitimately you took protein powder off the shelf and the third party tests.
And what's the company care? Because most of the people are just normal people at the gym staring at themselves in the mirror. Right. You know, the top athletes are at a very, very, very 0.001%. You know, so
some
like
of that stuff though. I take like that crackling and all that stuff. And some of that says discontinue use before like IBFF test. I don't know what the fuck's in it. It's probably not good.
Yeah,
but it says stop taking
because it has shit in it.
Tested. Yeah.
But I mean, the thing is when you. I just totally lost my train of thought. I was too worried about you failing your drug test.
I'm not getting a drug test.
Let's talk about something really recent, which was the Russian team in the Olympics.
Yeah, in the Olympics.
That was a huge thing.
Huge thing. And let me, again, I'm going to rewind because when I started looking at the Olympics, I was like, oh, this is some kind of scandal. And I was like, oh, fuck, no, this has always been a scandal.
Yeah,
like the Russians in the Olympics have always been a fucking scandal.
That's where steroids came from.
So there's three organizations, the WADA, which is the World Anti-Doping Agency, the IOC, which is the International Olympic Committee, and the IAAF, which is the International Association of Athletics Federation. And these are the three groups that are always trying to stop doping and trying to make the games more authentic. So this is usually who's running the tests and trying to make sure those three groups are the ones that are doing the testing and everything. But
did
a
you
lot
watch
of them,
the John Oliver thing on doping? By chance, I know you like John Oliver.
I did, but it was a long time ago.
It's really fucking funny. Yeah. Like if you like he breaks down this whole WADA thing and like the international, like it's so confusing and dizzying. There's just fucking arrows everywhere of these people trying to regulate these people and then they fucking cut a hole in the wall. It's just like it's really funny.
No, it's pretty
crazy.
He has
a 20-minute rant on this particular subject and it's like unmatched. Like we could not do it justice.
No. So when I look back, in Soviet Latvia in the 1970s, they developed the drug meldonium, which improves oxygen uptake, and it was given to Soviet-era athletes in the 1970s.
Yeah.
And this is now a situation where the athletes, there's a really good chance, are completely unaware that they're being doped.
Right.
Like at this point, there is a state-sanctioned doctor from your country, which I'm sure happens in a lot of countries, and it's like, look, you just did your thing, take these pills, take this injection, go back out there.
And doping you're just at that level wasn't even a thing.
No.
Yeah. So they're like, you're not suspicious of it.
And you'll hear to this day, you hear contemporary athletes who are part of a bigger organization who try to make the claim. Maybe some of them are telling the truth. Maybe some of them are bullshitting. Like, I had no idea I was taking this. My doctor gives me injections. Yeah. As far as I know, it was this one thing. But if they also gave me a shot of this, I have no fucking idea. Like, my doctor's given me stuff to make me a better athlete. I don't know what he's giving me.
Yeah.
You know,
I read some NFL article about a guy that said we took it for lunch. It was like there was this little thing of pills that during our break between fucking practice or whatever, they gave us this little thing. You had to take them. And it was like there was penalties and fines if you didn't take your prescribed regimen with steroids. And it's NFL.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
So in 72 at the Munich Olympics, the USSR won 50 gold medals compared to 33 won by the U.S. In the 76 Montreal Games, they got 49 gold medals. The U.S. came in with 34. East Germany got second place because even though they were part of the USSR, they ran as their own country. They got 40 medals, which was more than America, and it's fucking half of Germany.
Yeah.
But it's because of the fucking steroids. They were just all being pumped with steroids.
Yeah, they hadn't spread yet.
And in 2003, a report came out that talked about during this phase, the KGB and the state was forcing them to do steroids because this was literally part of the Cold War.
Right.
When we go to Munich, our athletes crushed your athletes. Like, this is a moral blow. This is a victory for the Cold War. So the Olympic athletes were soldiers in the Cold War, and they were taking, I'm sure a lot of them knew and were all about it. They were probably fucking Ivan Drago in it from Rocky.
Yeah.
Like, fucking go for it, give it to me. But I'm sure some of them genuinely might not have known, but they wouldn't have cared anyway. They probably, you know, the
and
state's
they might not
giving,
have known it was wrong.
Right.
There's like, definitely some hypocrisy behind that too, the whole Rocky IV. They tried to make America look like he's just doing fucking sit-ups in a barn and like lifting wagons and shit and running in the snow. Meanwhile, in real life, Sylvester Stallone is fucking growth hormone and testosterone out of his fucking gourd.
Well, and that's another
Dolph
thing.
Lundgren gets the fucking bad rap and they're injecting him on camera.
That's the other thing. Like actors, they have regimens that they take. How do you think that the guys get so big so quick, just bulked up, six-pack?
Right.
It's not a diet.
For a film. Yeah.
It's a diet and steroids.
Yeah.
What's funny, the Cold War, it seemed like such like a neighbor battle. Like your neighbor puts up like something new at their house and you're like, oh no, you okay.
Yeah.
Oh, they Oh, you're going to do that? Okay. Oh,
You got baby Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a whole fucking manger scene, bitch. What do you think about that? Oh, you got a manger scene?
It's like, isn't that the stupidest thing? It's a fucking pissing contest.
No, that's what it was. It was
my fucking neighbor, for the record. That guy fucking, I got it. He scares me. He's going to burn my fucking house down or something. That guy, their tweakers for fucking sure. They never stop working. If I take a piss at 2 a.m., they're working on their breaker panel with fucking like Harbor Freight fucking halogen fucking lights that look like the sun is up on the side of their fucking house going, hey man, bring me a fucking flathead. And you're like, shut the fuck up. It's 2 a.m.
Maybe it's like the mini Winchester house.
Dude, he mows his fucking lawn in the dark at 8:30. And instead of taking like fucking 5 minutes to sweep the fucking grass up, he sprays all the fucking mud and grass
onto your side,
just into my fucking gutter. I'm like, dude, it took 20 minutes for you to spray it. Wasted fucking thousands of gallons of water over here. Now he's chopping his fucking tree down. Yeah. He like moves his mailbox on a daily basis.
I would just start scooping up the lawn, putting in bags, and just throw it on his front doorstep.
Are you sure he's not a redneck vampire?
Yeah,
I think that's the same thing as a tweaker. I think that's just the
definition. A redneck vampire.
That's what we call him. That's a new name for it.
That's funny. Yeah, redneck vampires. That's fucking hilarious.
He changed every. At one day, I was like, his front door is like, it has no doorknob on it, and then like I could see through the fence, like, oh, neither does the guest house thing or the garage. Like he changed all the doors all of a sudden.
Yeah.
He changed every door. He's just looking for something to do. He painted a fucking birdbath teal and put in his front yard. Now he's chopping his fucking tree up and shit. He can't leave shit alone. His gate on the side of the house looks like fucking like an entrance to a fucking castle. It's ridiculous. He just won't stop. I don't know what
maybe
the fuck
he likes
going
fixing
on
his house up.
What's really
Jesus
funny
Christ
is the police, they caught him stealing shit from people's porches, like Amazon packages. They have his truck.
Oh, is that the guy?
His truck on the fucking neighbor's camera, and the girl getting out of the truck and stealing the Amazon package, getting the truck.
That,
there's no bed on the truck.
My tattoo artist, Victor Pressler, he got him on camera.
Yeah.
They stole his package.
But they're not pressing charges for some reason. He has this truck has no bed on it and like
it's
black.
A piece of
it's
shit.
His fucking truck.
It's clearly, a piece of shit.
Right. With a big dent. It's very unique on the side. Somehow he's not in fucking jail. But the police
it's
are there.
Because he keeps using his vampire. He keeps glamoring people.
Yeah.
They come up to arrest him.
What's really
hey,
funny
man,
though,
I didn't steal nothing.
He just installed. This
he
is
looking
funny
to my eyes.
He just installed a giant mailbox with this fucking lock thing on it. It looks like something that would be at the post office or something.
It's
on his own front porch.
It was from the post office.
Yeah, he stole it. Fucking. So that's Brent's.
He's like, that's a nice post office box, man.
So that's Brent's Cold War. That's I'm going to start doing steroids and beat his fucking
ass. That's right. Yeah. That's right. But I mean, so even in the Cold War in East Germany, they actually had a thing called State Plan 14.25, which was a fully documented state sanctioned, we are giving all of our athletes steroids so that we can crush the fucking Westerners.
Was there even a rule at that point about steroids? It didn't exist.
This was in the 60s, so it was
I'm sure the state plan was starting in 68.
Probably a vague line of performance enhancement.
Well, state plan 14.25 ran from 1968 until 1988, and I know they were testing for steroids by 88.
Right.
So they were running it all the way through there. Yeah. So again, when I heard, oh, there's this current stuff that's all fucked up with the Soviets, you know, doping their people for the Olympics, I'm like, oh, apparently since forever, like they've always done it, and it's always been state.
It's just like the cycling thing. Like they've always. I mean, that's how do you compare to other countries?
Right,
right. You win a war, and if you're not at war, you beat them at athletics.
The Australian government that investigated at the Moscow Olympics in 1980, they were referring to it as the chemist games instead of the Olympic games.
Wow.
Because the Russian athletes were just flat out doing steroids right in front of everybody.
Right.
Like just fucking, we're just doing them. Like, so, I mean, this is just, it's epidemic. It's not, right. You know, and then we think, oh, it calmed down and so forth. But then the big report that came out, and this is what John Oliver was talking about, was the Sochi Winter Olympics in 2014, and this is where they discovered this state doping scheme that ran from 2011 to 2015, and they found out that 15 different medal winners were doped, and they had to, like, you know, pull their medals.
Yeah.
And it was a state sanctioned thing. It wasn't the KGB anymore, but the athletes.
How does it suck to get your gold medal in the mail, like second place, like a silver guy? Yeah. What happens? Do you have to hand them down? Like,
yeah.
you have to trade your silver for the gold in the mail, but no glory.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't even want that though. Like,
no.
I lost to the guy. Like, that's it. Even though he was doping, like, you still lost to him.
Yeah, I don't know. But then again, maybe not. Maybe if number two was genuinely clean, maybe he might be like, yeah, fuck that guy. I totally
beat him.
Yeah, he wasn't. But so the Sochi Olympics, it was crazy because from what they found out, and again, this a guy named Grigory Rodinchoff, who ran the testing labs during Sochi for the Russians, the World Anti-Doping Agency found out that he was doing this doping. And he ended up admitting that he did it. And he was so scared after he admitted it that he had to move to Los Angeles for his own safety.
Yeah.
Because he was afraid of what was going to happen if he stayed in Russia. So he bails on the country and then, you know, gives this confession of what they were doing. And basically, intelligence operatives were breaking into the labs at night. So people would give their urine sample. But again, we're dealing with thousands and thousands of athletes.
Yeah.
So you would just store the urine sample and we'd be testing over the next couple of days. They had holes cut through walls with secret panels and they were like taking and they were like having people sneak in, like janitorial staff and shit were like getting handed clean piss that they had the athletes give like months before.
Yeah.
And they would go in and they would swap the vials and do all this shit. So it was like this massive, it wasn't just like some guy snuck in a fake pee. Like they had intelligence agents breaking into the doping lab at night, swapping samples, like these supposedly tamper-proof vials that you can't get in or out of, they were able to get in and out of.
Well, they just swapped them.
They probably just swapped the whole vial, yeah. But they were doing all this stuff, so all of them were coming up clean. And then later on, because of this guy's testimony, they ended up being able to prove all this different stuff. And they found 100 different dirty urine samples during the Sochi Games that had been expunged as being clean, even though they were dirty. So 100 different urine samples during those Olympics ended up being replaced with clean ones. And then that became the worry for the Rio Olympics happening in 2016.
Yeah.
And from what I read, 398 Russian athletes were set to participate in the games. 111 of them were banned because of state-sanctioned doping.
But they were like, fuck it, don't threaten us with a good time. Like, they don't even want to go to Rio because they fucking robbed a waterborne disease.
They banned entire teams. And so, like, they had, like, it's always funny when you see like the entire black team walk out and then you have the one white chick or the one white guy and they're from this country in Africa or something.
Right.
And they have the Russian name. You know, like, so people were having to actually leave the country to go compete.
Compete somewhere else.
For a different country just to make it into the Olympics because they were clean, but their entire team got banned.
And this tripped me out. Because every year when the Olympics happen, while all the facilities are set up, immediately after the Olympics, they always have the International Paralympics for people with disabilities, for whatever. So the entire Russian 2016 Rio Paralympic team is suspended for doping. The entire Russian Paralympic team is suspended for doping.
Yeah, because they can grow legs back and stuff.
The entire team.
Yeah.
Wow. I was just like, and I don't know. I don't know why that surprised me. I'm like, I didn't picture doping happening in the Paralympics, but fucking why not?
I know our closing line is don't be a retard, but I'm just like sitting here biting my tongue. Right. Like, there's so many things.
But yeah, the entire 2016 team. So a third of the regular Olympics and the entire Paralympics from Russia are banned.
I watched the kayaking. Like I was in the doctor's office and I was like sitting there and the Olympics was on. It was the kayaking, you know, where they just have one oar just back to back. And it was the women and they were fucking, their shoulders were impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, they just had
hard. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, no, I know it's hard, but I'm saying there's no way that those women got that big. Like they have to be taking steroids, like at some level. I mean, they were huge.
Did you guys see the whistleblower who actually outed the Russian team, like who it is? It's like a young blonde runner girl. And she had like gone to like when she did her testing at WADA or whatever, one of the agents, like they met during the testing and like fell in love and they started marrying. So then it was like, someone from the agency that worked there pretty much married an athlete that was a Russian athlete. And then she's like, well, yeah, like everybody's doing it. He's like, well, I have suspicions, but not like everyone. She's like, no. Everyone. He's like, well, how are you getting around it? And she started to tell, well, this is how I do it. This is who gives it to me. This is what happens.
She didn't think anything was wrong.
Yeah. So he works at WADA. He starts digging into it and figuring shit out. And then he starts to uncover it. And then he starts to slowly release emails. Like over a 2-year period, like he starts sending out these emails and like nothing happens. And then they had to go into fucking hiding. Like they moved because it's Russia. They moved 9 times in 1 year because their life was threatened. And then finally someone was like, they're never going to happen unless you release it to the media. Like just telling WADA doesn't matter. And so finally he put it in the media and then some like German media place put out this big documentary and came and filmed them and shit. And that's when they went into hiding because they filmed them. They did interviews. They're like, no, I'm an athlete. All these people are doing it. He works at WADA. Like we figured this out. There's a hole in the wall where they like fucking push these samples through and put the other stuff back through. And then finally, like 2 weeks after the release of that documentary, WADA's like, oh, we're doing a third party investigation. We're going to figure this shit out.
Yeah.
And that's what happened that led to all this Rio stuff. So, but that she was scared for her fucking life, which says something to the Russian fans that got mad about Vladimir Putin. Like, come on, man. Like, why are people moving 9 times in 1 year? Like,
is she part of what brought down the Sochi Olympic discovery?
I'm not sure the total time frame. If you look up the Russian ban or whatever, it's that couple.
I think because this is the second time like they went through and like just banned everybody. Like, but what's funny is Russia knows that they're gonna look at all this stuff and they don't give a fuck.
No,
they're just like fuck it.
Yeah,
like just keep giving it to them.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's crazy. But again, this is where the slippery slope comes in because I look and it's like if you're some from fucking rich ass nation. And you have amazing training equipment and you have gear that is better. If fucking NASA develops some fucking super friction ore for the kayak team that no one else has, how is that any different than doping?
Yeah,
this person in that kayak has an unfair technological advantage that no one else in the water has. I don't see how that is any different than them having done steroids. If we're banning steroids, then we equally need to say every athlete has to use the same exact equipment because all of this equipment is going to give. And again, you know,
then you'll have some shady deal where like fucking Gold's Gym provides the equipment or something. And you have a contract where they get awarded the Olympic contract for the equipment.
But still, I mean, because you're going to see, you know, Japan and Russia and, you know, Great Britain and America and all the big wealthy nations are going to have athletes with amazing equipment.
Yeah.
And if you're from fucking Uruguay, like you don't have NASA developing an ore.
I picked or your boat or like, whatever, like, you know.
Because you always see that. You'll always see like, oh, Mercedes-Benz developed a new boat for the German team and they spent 7 years and all this money, you know, researching it. And it's like, well, that fucking sucks for everybody else, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, how is that any better than doping?
Or things it's that not. Are like people can eat like cordyceps mushrooms and it increases like oxygen availability like massively, but it's a fucking mushroom that just grows.
Yeah.
Like, where do you draw the line?
Well, that's part of diet, you know? I think though too, like, I don't know how true this is, but I would think like poor countries, like the guy who runs like, and he's going to be in the Olympics, he's probably running barefoot. You know what I mean? For training, you know, or whatever, until the time comes and then he has to put these shoes on that the country gives him. You know, I wonder, that probably happens, you know, like that it's not fair. Like you're saying, you know, like where is the line drawn?
Yeah.
And there isn't any. It's just steroids. It's just something because they can't control it, I think, is the biggest thing.
To be honest, personally, I wish we just had both. I wish it was like, here's the Olympics. It's the same exact thing. Here's the Olympics. At 12 o'clock is the clean 100-yard dash, and at 12:15 is the doped 100-yard dash.
You know why? No one will watch that. No one's going to watch the clean one. They won't watch it. They'll be like, fuck, why?
They would watch it. People watch fucking curling.
No, I think people would watch it. You know, I would watch it.
The curling team was doping for sure.
I would watch both because I would be really curious. What's the maximum of a clean athlete who's using like basic gear, what is the human maximum and versus this fucking cyborg with fucking metal legs and a fucking frictionless astronaut suit with fucking mercury blood. It's like, oh fuck, that guy, like just knock it off the rails. Like, fuck it. Just anything.
Let him go.
It's all
sky's
good.
The limit.
Like whatever you want to do.
But I think you would see this too. I think you would see the alternative where you'd watch the clean one and the guy's fucking crazy fast and his time's faster than the guys who doped.
You might
see what I mean? You're going to see that. Maybe not all the time, but I think you would have that.
You know,
that
I think it would still happen. You just wouldn't have the clean one. You'd still have the cheaters and the clean one. I just don't think that they would always be somehow.
You always need an edge. Yeah.
Even in the clean one, you'd still have the same problem you have now with the cheating.
Yeah. But if you just like,
because we're doing the clean one, right?
If you just open up the dirty one, because that's the other thing I'm curious about. Just open up the dirty one. Like, what kind of times are we going to...
The same cheaters would think they'd have the chance in the clean one. Because this clean one exists right now, right? And they're cheating. So you could open up that, but then people would still try to cheat in the clean one. They'd be like, yeah, I'm in the clean category. EPO. Like, they'd still do it.
Okay, well, then apparently what I'm discovering about myself is I don't give a shit if they dope in the clean one. I just want to see how crazy it'll get if we just let them go.
Because
it's like, I always looked at the last Olympics where... renowned murderer Petraeus with the metal legs just winning medal after medal after medal.
Yeah.
I'm like,
he had spring-loaded legs.
Like, what if every runner could get metal legs?
They can, actually.
Like, but yeah, I mean, if that's suddenly a thing, like if there's a fucking sprint and everybody's got these super dope bionic legs, like how fast are they? Yeah. How badass is that?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
I think that's just as controversial, like allowing equipment, you know, like there was the amateur UFC fighter that had like an elbow nub. Like when that guy hits you with that nub, like that has to hurt way more.
There was also a transgender person who fought they went to the women's category.
Oh yeah. See, that's fucked up.
Man. And that's not okay. Like bone structure, strength, hormonal levels, testosterone presence. Like, yeah, that's a man beating up women.
Yeah.
See, so again, we have the fucking dirty games. It's all on the table.
I know like we've pretty much covered the gamut, but I can't not talk about this. There was a doctor in like the 1800s to the 1920s that would graft thin slices of chimpanzee testicles into humans. Did you see that?
No.
It was fucking successfully. I thought, what about rejection?
Well, first off, what do you mean by successfully?
It stayed and didn't reject.
Okay.
What was the?
Because to me, I don't think that could ever be done successfully.
It was for like older men. Like he tested it in like old bulls. He would take like young steer and like take some of their, like a thin slice of their testicle and try to graft it in, like a stem cell type of thing. And I don't know the results, but he successfully did it without rejection. injection, which I didn't even think was possible. But he took super thin slices of chimpanzee testicles and grafted it into human men, older human men.
Into their testicles?
Into their testicles.
Mm. What was that point?
Regenerative purposes, that it would, like, you know, monkeys have fucking superhuman strength, testosterone, like they're 10 times stronger than
Not them. Regenerative purposes. If you're getting something stuck in your balls, it's so you can get a boner.
Maybe.
Like, it was just, that was 1903 Viagra is what that was.
I don't know. Monkeys are known for their balls, not for their penises. Monkeys, like, chimpanzees have really small dicks, but giant balls. Like, their balls are like 8 times bigger and their penises are 8 times smaller.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I don't
know. That explains it.
Maybe all the men just wanted a good swinging pair of Dangerfields and they hoped that they were.
A swinging pair of Dangerfields. What's the Dangerfield? Is Rodney Dangerfield known for, like, fucking sagging nuts?
Have you seen Natural Born Killers?
Yeah, I don't remember that, though.
Yeah, there's a scene where he's sitting on the couch and his nuts are hanging out of his shorts.
Is it really his nuts?
Yes.
I think that just happens when you get
older,
right?
It's just old man. Yeah,
because
your nuts go to your knees.
Apparently, Joey Diaz has, like, a comedy CD, and it's really a picture of his balls on the front of the CD.
Probably,
and Rogan's talked about it, that he's, like, I don't know, walked in on him or seen him in the shower, and then his balls hang, like, a fucking foot down or something crazy. Like, it's
Dangerfields are pretty crazy in that movie.
That's funny.
You can't unsee them, and then you'll always refer to them as Dangerfields from that point forward in your life.
You got big balls, you just roll with it. You're like, yeah, I'm a dick, not so much. My balls, check this shit out.
Well, that's like a thing, though. Like, old men wearing short shorts and their balls hanging
out. Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, I'm just pruning the roses.
You can't help it.
I'm going to start measuring.
Me, like, and my Dangerfields.
Yeah.
I'm going to get, like, tattoo on my legs so that I can tell, like, where my balls.
Just like your kids growing on the door frame. Like.
What you need to do is get a door frame tattooed on your leg.
There you go.
And then start doing tattoo hash marks down the door frame.
There's a door jam somewhere by my knee. Yeah. There's, like, the doorknob, the little receptacle part.
All the way down your leg.
But you're going to wake up one day and the tweaker will have stolen your doorknob.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Guy, you're going to bring that shit up again. I can't even say. There. I have an idea, but I'm not saying it publicly because
don't do it.
Yeah, it's
a mission of guilt.
Save it.
Trouble.
I'm doing it.
So I don't know about doping. I didn't look into baseball at all because who gives a shit? And I didn't look
Canseco,
into
McGuire.
Well, there's so much.
There's
like,
so much.
Even just mentioning Barry this Bonds. Topic, we were like, what the fuck? Like,
there's so much.
Brent was afraid, like, because there is so much. Like, even just the Olympics, it's insane.
Yeah.
But you have UFC, you have baseball, which was huge. Mark McGuire, you know, Sammy Sosa. Ow.
Why are you hitting me with things? Because there's directions on it to do so. Yeah. I'm waiting for the aftermath.
I have mine? Dave's. Yeah, hit. Oh, what are you hit the mic not, for? Nobody knows what's happening right
I just
now.
Got right? Hit in the front of an eyeball.
We're throwing baby Modelo soccer balls.
We were given foam Modelo soccer balls. There's four of them.
These one are also them, from Tyler.
They were also, yeah, they came with the whiskey. One of them says, throw at Brent.
That wasn't even my ball.
One of them
you
says,
you look like Brad to me.
One says, throw at Brent. One says, throw at Brad. One says, throw at Dave.
And one says, throw at Dave,
exclamation point. So I got hit twice. I don't know why.
I got hit twice too somehow.
Yeah,
so throw that shit at Brad right now.
Let's make throw at Dave. I already got hit by it. I'm saving it.
Oh, okay. Fuck.
One's under the table. I felt it.
So I don't know. Doping. I don't know. Everybody fucking does it. I don't know. I'm not a huge, I mean, I genuinely do like the Olympics, especially Winter Olympics. When the Winter Olympics hit, I watch that shit religiously.
You want competition to be fair. You want things
I want
to
competition
all be
to be fair. I like to see it when it's not just when the athletes aren't doing it 100% for the money. Like, one of the reasons I don't like watching American sports is every single person is making fucking $60 million a year. They're prima donnas.
That's not true
bitches.
Though. The popular ones are. Like,
the popular
like
ones
in,
are.
Like in baseball, you have the guys that make $100,000 a year.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
I mean,
that's very true.
On the bench,
that's very
you know.
True.
Football, but
the whole thing is just so highly commercialized. The stars are make so much. And in the Olympics, except for the Olympic basketball team, which is
and hockey.
Yeah, and hockey. But I mean, it's just like some dude that runs. He's not making fucking, you know, he might be the, you know, the one guy this year that breaks out. I mean, I'm sure fucking Phelps is making millions of dollars on endorsements because he's a phenomenon.
Sure.
But the average person isn't, you know.
Man, and that guy's like chest is like a cobra.
Yeah.
Like ridiculous. His like upper body is like this like V of just weirdness.
It's from Foot Long like sub very, sandwiches from Subway.
Maybe
it's a turkey sub.
He's molesting children too. Like makes them swim faster.
And smoking weed. But Yeah, I don't know. Something about the Olympics like really does appeal to me because it's a different type of athletics. There's none of that bullshit on the line. Like, oddly enough, I like the Olympics, which is as close as we can get to true athleticism, and I like professional wrestling, which is as far as you can get from true athleticism, and everything in the middle, I don't give a shit.
I disagree about athleticism. Yeah.
That's true.
But those guys are all on steroids.
But it's a genuine, like, in the Olympics, it's a genuine competition to see who's going to win. Yeah, there is no competition.
It's not entertainment.
In wrestling.
Yeah.
Decisions are already made, but no, those motherfuckers, trust me, they
decisions
are top tier.
Decisions might be made, but I think like your athleticism,
like
Rob Van Dam, for example, like doing fucking like backflips off the fucking ring all the way across, like athleticism definitely
massive.
That's probably why they pick you to be, because maybe they pick the winner, but they might go, this motherfucker could do backflips all the way across.
Well, and
the
it's
ring.
How much like, the fans like you.
Yeah.
Like the other thing is too, though, you got to realize how big these guys are. Like yeah, they're some
not,
of them
you're not chosen by chance. Mm-mm. It's that's hard work even, and the acrobat thing.
Yeah,
like,
even Rob Van Dam, he's one of the smaller guys. I mean, he's not a luchador, but he's a smaller dude compared to the bigger guys.
Yeah.
But he's still, I mean, I'm 260 and he's about my size.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's a big dude.
I don't think luchador like coincides with being small necessarily.
Most of them are really small. They're like 5 foot three,
most of
110
them are,
yeah. pounds.
Most of them are really small and agile.
Yeah.
That dude in Nacho Libre was pretty big. I can't think of his name right now.
That was Jack Black.
No, not Jack Black.
That's a movie.
I would never take away the athleticism of professional wrestlers because those motherfuckers are beasts and they are at the top of their game. They're in incredible shape. I think they're all mutants, just like people that rise to the game of other athletic endeavors. And I think their true mutation is an abnormal ability to take pain.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't, I like hit fucking Lance Armstrong in the head with a folding chair and see if he can get back on his bike.
Or just throw somebody. It's hard enough to get people to go to judo and land on a
that
mat.
That might be an example of the unregulated thing, because I don't know that they get tested. Like, those guys are fucking huge.
No. Supposedly they get tested. They test for steroids. Because every so often someone gets busted for using steroids.
Fucking patsy that didn't go with the flow for some political reason.
That's just to get them out.
The WWE claims that they have an anti-doping stance and that they test people. Whether they do or not, I have no idea.
I think not either, because they don't have an anti boob job clause, because every woman in there has boob jobs.
That's true.
So doesn't make any sense.
No.
All right, so on that note, boobs sponsors.
Yes.
Yeah, I felt it.
You felt the boobs.
I felt the boobs. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can get their hot sauce if you can't find it at Target, Walmart, or your little Mexican market, or the ethnic section of Target. You can get it online, and you can save 10% if you use code SOFAKING. And they also have all kinds of cool gear. You can get mini bottles and shirts and flip flops and hats and koozies and all kinds of cool stuff on there. So check them out. We need to thank printdirtcheap.com. You can also get a discount by using code SOFAKING there. They make stickers, all kinds of anything you can print. They pretty much make it. They could probably source it for you.
Scratch pads, flyers, I mean, stickers, everything.
Temporary tattoos. We're working on that. Hey, we need to vote. Like, I think it would be funny if we had a Gary Coleman tattoo.
I don't think so.
But Brad doesn't want it. But I kind of think Gary Coleman saying, like, I did it, or it was me on your arm, would be kind of funny. It doesn't, but maybe he has to wear a Sofa King shirt or something. I don't know. Something silly.
I don't see that.
No? So, I don't know. If you guys have a good idea for a Sofa King tattoo.
I'm not into the tattoos, but.
We're trying to order temporary tattoos, but Brad's hating on
Brent's trying to order.
I think it's fucking funny. I think people will dig that. I don't know. They'll tell us if they
would
dig it or not. Yeah. I'm gonna put one on my neck, like just an SK on my neck.
I'm gonna stretch my balls like as flat as I can get it and put one on there. Take a picture of it.
We'll clamp it down. We'll go to Harbor Freight and get some clamps. We'll make a ball clamp.
I got clamps at the house.
Oh shit! My nipple clamps will totally hold
I got C clamps. Yeah. Just put it on the workbench. That'll work.
So there you go. Print dirt cheap. Nipple clamps, ball clamps, testicular skin.
Dangerfield.
Dangerfield.
Yeah.
Thank you to Dark Side Graphics and for our t-shirts and koozies. Thank you to Digital Creations for our goodies and everything you make us. And who am I forgetting right now? Dan Camarillo. You can go to armhunter.com, get instructional DVDs, geese, and apparel. And I'm missing someone, I feel
Salt
like. Salt 7. Salt 7 Float Center. If you haven't tried sensory deprivation, it's good for therapeutic reasons and sports injuries, all kinds of good stuff. Just relaxation. You should check it out. If you're in town or in the surrounding area, check out Salt 7.
Do we have that one? And if you're in Thailand, what's that one called?
Oh yeah. Float Indigo actually is in Thailand. If you happen to be in Phuket, Thailand, spelled fuck it with a PH.
Fuck it. You might as well say fuck it and go float.
Yeah.
That's right.
They're really cool people. They just put our link up on their website. They're not a sponsor or anything, just friends on Facebook, but they're cool people and they're in a really cool advantageous position. Like they're on the street in Phuket where all the Muay Thai training happens for MMA fighters. So they get to meet all kinds of like Rashad Evans was just there last week. They get to meet all kinds of big fighters. So check out Float Indigo if you happen to be in Phuket, Thailand on the fucking Muay Thai, on the Muay Thai fitness street. Yeah.
Next time you're in Phuk It.
Yep. Let's call it Phuk
It. Just say Phuk It.
Yep.
All right. That's it.
Phuk It. All right. Don't be retarded. Young nigga move that dope. Young nigga move that dope. They move that dope. They move that dope. Young nigga move that dope. Young nigga move that dope. Young nigga move that dope. They move that dope. They move that dope. Young nigga move that dope. Young nigga move that dope. Young nigga move that dope. They move that dope. They move that dope. Young nigga move that dope. Young nigga move that dope. Young nigga move that dope. They move that dope. They move that dope. Whipping the yam, whipping the flipping the yam, turning her brick to a lamb, re-rocking the dope, soon as they get out the rope, keeping the sound like a meat, go to my link, poking the sink, chopping that work like karate, serving the new Maserati, in a brand new Maserati, that's a whole lot of new money, session and hiding from 12, moving the squares and them bills, serving the raw, it's a yell. Beating that China like who's a kitchen. Whipping it, whipping that fishing for a cat. Freaking no syrup, I'm rolling them hay. Made myself a boss, I'm bossing a plug. Either way you put it, nigga, I'm good. Triple salute, nigga, straight out the hood. Back of soda, water splashing, scale. Fuck my right and my pot and my limb. Leaning all way over to the side. I whip me a 4-way to a 9. The dirty, the money is homicide. And my recipe can be televised. Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. They move that dope, they move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Y'all nigga move that dope. Y'all nigga move that dope. Ain't move that dope. Ain't move that dope. Young enough to still sell dope, but old enough that I knows better. When they saying it's 42 for that white powder, I knows better. Get it, nigga, I knows better. Put a smile on the devil's face. Who don't wanna sell dope forever and flood they rolling to the vessel break? Fish scale in the tooth door that I fish tails. Fiberglass, Ferrari leather, and designer shit that I miss bells. Yeah, look at the clues, the J's, the jewels, I'm acting a monkey. From 16 years old, I'm whipping in kitchens, fucking my junkies. Pablo Versace way before me goes. My dinner plates, no silverware. All you niggas, my e-hoes. Toss a kilo like a free throw. Crack house, I had the peephole. Made it through to the other side. Now nothing's big as my ego. Young nigga, move that dope. 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 I try to leave the best for later. But pussy try to put me on the respirator. The old skateboard Pete, that's your favorite. Me and 20 girls doing yoga naked. Frequency high, like a spaceship. She say that she like it, then she been exposed. The Gandalf hat and the weird ass clothes. That's coming out song and the buffalo. I know gorillas with the triggers that's on the banana clippers and packing with the biggest missiles. These niggas is knocking over vehicles. These niggas ain't waiting just to see niggas. These niggas ain't trying to hear please niggas. These niggas like chopping down trees niggas. These niggas 1-2-3 and they squeeze niggas. These niggas hit the weed and they lead niggas. G nigga. If you got 2 holes, you need to let one go. 2 Lambos, you need to let one go. All these drones while y'all smoke drone. Never eye in the sky, I'm trying to let y'all know. Ain't no stanzas, I'ma set one though. Big ass bag, but no man sando. All that war, we need to let that go. That boring business, I'ma get that hoe. Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Ain't move that dope, ain't move that dope. Young nigga, move that dope. Young nigga,